Hi everyone, it's Josh. I just wanted to let you know that Lovecraft Desk Second Edition is live on Backerkit crowdfunding and you should go and back it right away. If you haven't already, you can go back and listen to the Black Armada Tales posse playing Lovecraft Desk Second Edition, which we did earlier this year. The new game is card-driven. It has hundreds of creative prompts on cards and fantastic reference materials to make your game as slick and inspiring an experience as possible. It comes in a beautiful box set with art throughout by Vince and Sammy and Paul Tomes, and including hidden ultraviolet art that you can only see by shining a special UV flashlight that comes in the box. And there are also brand new scenarios by a truly diverse group of authors and fantastic new settings never before seen in Eldritch Horror. If you like cosmic horror or if you like emergent mystery, definitely go and check it out. The campaign's running from the 10th of October to the 9th of November, and there is a link to the campaign in the show notes. Thanks very much. We really appreciate your support. Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox, my pronouns are he, him, and I will be GMing tonight's game of Last Fleet, along with the players, whom are...
Becky Anderson, my pronouns are she, her. I'll be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat, and my playbook is Ares, and her pronouns are also she, her.
Ed Tomlinson, playing Dr. Tobias Roy, the Scorpio playbook, and our pronouns are he and him.
Nick Bate, playing Commander Sam Buckley, captain of the Hecate, that's the Taurus playbook, and we share he, him pronouns.
And my name is Sue Elliott, I'll be playing Sonia Vega, the Gemini playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
And I would like to apologise for using the word whom earlier, almost certainly inappropriately, although I honestly don't know because I was educated under the 1980s Tory government, so I don't know anything.
Much like kids are today.
I was watching closely, Sue, and I 100% saw your eyes flick down to read your own character name on the sheet of paper.
God damn it.
You're going to have to wear shades.
I'm going to have to put a post-it somewhere near my camera.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, or special glasses with it written on the inside.
Yeah, that definitely that. Yeah,
I think that would be quite cool. You could wear them, and out and about town. It'd just be anyone comes and says, "Hey, aren't you on that podcast?" And you'd be like, "Yeah, I play Sonia Vega."
Yeah. As a socially anxious person, the thought of getting prompts for like everyday interactions is that sounds brilliant. Yeah. Take my money.
It does sound good, doesn't it?
This is our after Twiggos gets successful, that'll be our next.
Yeah,
our next
this is
project.
Definitely a Kickstarter project, and no mistake. So, like two or three sessions back, it feels like quite a long while ago. Anyway, you said you'd like to research a Corax detector. You may even have said it longer ago than that, but you finally got hold of those Corax samples from the Agamemnon drive room.
Yep.
And so you started a research project, you even rolled for it, and it definitely wasn't a case of me spending the intervening time thinking up what the results of that would be. That would be silly. It was just that naturally it takes a little while to implement such a research project, and that's why I'm only telling you the results now.
Yep.
Good. Glad we're all clear on that.
Yep.
So essentially what I'm suggesting you have done is I don't think you can just use these little samples as a Corax detector. I think you needed to build something. And I think what you have had to build, you basically had to grow it into an organism of some kind. So it's sort of been made into a living creature, albeit not in the shape of a human or anything like that. And if you present this thing with human tissue, it will attempt to assimilate it in a Corax-like way.
So I have to take a sample from the victim.
Yeah, not just blood, a tissue sample, or from the willing, you know, participant.
Like a swab.
I think it would be more than a swab.
Like a big chunk of skin.
I don't know how you get a tissue. Like a tissue sample is more than just blood, right? And it's definitely more than just a swab.
Do you want another week to think about that one?
I guess they maybe like have to do it some very, very minor surgery. Like
this is gonna be very hard.
Like a little biopsy, like a little punch biopsy type thing.
Or... There you go. So it's like I mean I've never had one, so I don't know. But what you've just described sounds a bit like a kind of a hole punch type.
Fine.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. Yeah, it's quite unintrusive, like, as far as it can be. You know.
Taking your flesh.
The details don't matter that much. The point is that it cannot be done without someone noticing unless you have anaesthetised them or similar. And I think even if you did manage to do it without noticing, they might notice the puncture mark.
So take two near each other. So if they do notice, vampires.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's all we need.
That's why you're not the Scorpio playbook.
So, if you put human flesh in the presence of this thing, it'll try and assimilate it. If you put Korax or Korax-infected flesh, it will do something different. It won't react in the same way. So that's how you can tell. Mm-hmm. I have assumed that you want to put this inside some sort of housing so that when you show this, if anybody asks to see it, you'll be able to say, look, see, it's just like a little computer thing. And they won't know that there's a living Korax organism inside.
Yeah, I'll put it in a clear Pyrex box. Is it Pyrex? No. Perspex. Pyrex. I'll put it in a Pyrex dish. No, I'll have it in a very space-age-looking casing.
Oh, this is some classic Theranos bullshit.
And I'll also put some really interesting LED lights that do like a flashing pattern when I press a button on it.
Nice. Okay. It takes 12 hours for the results to come in because it's not just a case of stick it in and the light lights up. You actually have to wait to see whether the thing reacts. And furthermore, there is a move, what I has writ, for this process. So it's not completely... You won't ever get a wrong result.
Right.
That's not a thing that can happen. But you would be rolling sharp. If you get a 10+, you get a clear answer. If you get a 7-9, you will either get a clear answer, but you will mark a clock, which I'll explain how that works in a minute, or you will get an inconclusive answer. Oh no, that's the worst. And I think I've said a penalty to the next attempt if you wanted to do the same person again.
Mm-hmm. And you mark pressure.
And you mark pressure, yes, because it's very annoying. If you roll a 6, then you get all of that bad shit. You get an inconclusive result, you mark pressure. You have to mark the clock, and furthermore, you can never test that person again. You basically, this person, for whatever reason, is not accessible in that way. Finally, the clock. The clock's a 4-box clock, same as all other clocks in this game. Doom clock. If it fills up, something bad's going to happen. It's just GM makes a move, but the sorts of things I've got in mind, you know, like this is a living Korax thing, it might escape its confinement. Someone might discover it, and you know, there's all sorts of things that can go wrong with this thing. So, yeah.
So not too many obstacles for its use, then.
It's very usable, but it is not extremely good as a mass test, because if you do that, you would definitely run the clock down really fast, and there's always the chance that it won't give you the information you want.
Well, there's only two people I need to test it on, so that's fine.
Just to be clear. Can you use pressure on the Korax detector? Move.
Yes.
Sweet, sweet XP.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Roy is well known to be incredibly chill, so...
Yeah, I mean, is this basically an XP-generating device now?
Well, you only get one XP.
Only like any other move, really, isn't it? Plus, with extra dangers of leaking Korax, which I would hate to see happen.
Oh, lordy.
So, hope that makes sense. Any questions?
Do we know how to sedate Korax? That's the only thing I need to know.
If the Korax are mushrooms, have we tried frying them in butter?
Just throwing butter and garlic at them.
Nobody has yet suggested taking a tissue sample and frying it in garlic butter to see whether it's a Korax.
That would have been an even better testing device.
I don't think anybody has found any evidence that Korax infiltrators work differently on a biological level from other people, so you probably sedate them the same way as any other human, but... Then again, maybe not.
Just freeze them.
Okay, so it has been a little while Dr. Roy, since we gave you any spotlight time. So I am curious whether you are going to do anything with this newfound device. I'm assuming it's in your secret lab, by the way.
Yeah, is it in my secret lab or my lab? I consider this a fairly noble... This is like what I've been tasked to do, right? So it's in my lab, but it's probably in a secure... in a safe or something that I've got in there. Have I got a safe? Somewhere where I can secure things.
You seem like the sort of person who might have a safe, so yeah, let's see.
Yeah, well, given that I'm dealing with samples and things.
Yes, it's a perfectly legit safe, and it's not at all where you keep your stolen items and...
Yeah, my mysterious gold bars.
Maybe it's a repurposed weapons locker or something.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to use it immediately. I think I'm going to go and see Sam.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiO.
With a massive adrenaline injection.
Are you really?
As discussed. No, I'm just going to see. I'm going to take him some grapes.
And an orange. Okay. All right, well, I guess I can't really say no to that, having invited you to have a scene, so that's what you'll do.
Well, he's unconscious, isn't he?
Well, the only thing is, of course, the security and all that. But as I've said, I'm not going to obstruct your ability to move around the fleet. But are you allowed to just walk in?
If he's unconscious...
You probably... You are on the suspect list, aren't you? So.
Am I?
Yeah, I think we had a conversation in Catan's office. Vega, he basically said, yeah, well, you know, Roy's the other person who's on the bridge that shouldn't have been. To either her or to...
Yeah, but that was, like, Loris. Absolutely ages ago.
I mean, everyone's on Catan's suspect list, so...
That is a good point.
I'm not.
You don't know that.
Because you might not have been the intended target. You jumped in there. Maybe you felt bad at the last second about planting the bomb.
I bet you are on the list, but there's, like, a question mark your name.
Yeah, a little shruggy.
Right at the bottom of the list, you know.
I'm going to go and see Loris then, actually. Because if Sam's unconscious, that's going to be a rubbish scene.
I thought you were going to wake him up. Did Josh persuade you not to?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it, but maybe I should see you first just to get some lowdown, and then maybe I'll do that afterwards.
Okay.
All right, so where do you go and see Loris?
I don't know, Spanners? Not there.
I don't think she's there. I really hate to say this.
Quarters?
But I think
not
that
there.
She's probably in the... CAG's office, yeah. Doing CAG work.
So I think this is where Dr. Roy's like really puzzled to not find you in any of your usual haunts, and goes to see the CAG to ask where you are, and you are in the office.
What does the CAG's office look like now that it has a Loris in it?
I think it's a broom cupboard, and I think it's just a lot messier than it was. Like, I remember when you described how Catan has sort of carefully kept all of Sam's stuff and was just kind of working on a neat little corner, and I think that Loris would sort of try and do that, but she's just quite messy. So she's not like, I'm taking over this office, this is my office now and these are my things. It's more just looks like a whirlwind has been in there and she's just sitting in a storm of papers.
And what does a Loris look like now that she's in a CAG's office?
I think she looks quite frazzled. I think that she's not wearing a uniform. Well, she's wearing... Okay, so she's not wearing her jacket or a dress uniform or anything like that. She's wearing the clothes that the pilots usually wear to kind of slob around the place and get spanners.
I'm immediately imagining a singlet and boxer shorts, but I'm sure that's not what you meant.
No, it's a singlet and combat trousers.
And those monster slippers.
No, she's wearing boots, I'm afraid.
Mushroom slippers.
Yes.
Mushroom slippers, yeah. And really, it's just kind of a storm of rotors and flight formations and training plans and things. And she's looking like this is her worst nightmare. After Sam being in the bad state, of course. That's her worst nightmare. This is her second worst nightmare.
Double nightmare.
Yeah. This is her version of hell.
So I think Dr. Roy stands outside the door, looks a little bit surprised to see you at the desk, and then observes you trying to manage this chaos for a few moments and sort of smirks quietly to himself. And then says, this is an unusual location for you, Loris. Have you been
Dr. Roy.
Promoted?
Temporarily, unfortunately, yes.
Well... congratulations.
Not really. Not really. But the sooner that Sam wakes up and Catan can, the sooner that the captain wakes up and Catan can take all of this stuff over again, and just the better.
Yeah, I think he raises his eyebrows slightly at the fact that he used his first name initially. And then he says, ah, yes, the captain. Still unconscious?
Did you want something, Dr. Roy? Because unless you're going to sit and help me with training rotors, then...
I'm just curious to see if there was any assistance I could offer for the captain. Perhaps I should go and see him, but I gather it's hard to get to do that without authority.
Well, he's in the best medical care possible, Dr. Roy.
Yes.
I didn't think trauma was your speciality.
Not that sort anyway.
Well, you know, an extra pair of eyes. I have had training, after all. I'd like to also pay my respects.
He's not dead.
I think you pay respects when someone's alive.
You pay respects to two types of people, dead people and mafia bosses.
And captains of ships, perhaps?
When
you want to be respectful?
I think that they said he needs his rest, that he's stable, but the more rest he gets, the sooner he's going to wake up. Look, I'm not a medical doctor, but if the medical doctors have said they don't want too many people going in there, then maybe we shouldn't have too many people going in.
Well, have they said that, or is this a military decision that no one should make contact with your captain? Don't you find that a little odd?
Not really. I mean, Roy, the bridge was blown up. Somebody planted a bomb. They sabotaged the bridge, and the captain was causing the blast. Lots of people died. I don't find it odd that there's a lockdown while the investigation's going on and that the person who might have been the target of the bomb is being kept secure away from everyone else. I mean, that's not that weird, is it?
Very well. I place my grapes on the desk. Be sure he gets these.
Yeah, and I'll let him know they were from you.
I stroll off.
Well, cool. that was a very short scene, but... Unless you're about to do something immediately, Dr. R, I might ask Sonia about this business with anything she's doing in the brig.
I definitely want to look in the file, and then I want to see who I'm actually locked up with as well.
Okay.
I've probably already done that, but...
Cool. Well, I guess the file is like a massive sheaf of papers, which is extremely well ordered, but not necessarily... in the order you would put it in to get maximum understanding from it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I might want to make you roll to seek out.
Yeah.
Because it's not that somebody has deliberately hidden something in this, but there is probably information hidden in it, and it's probably pretty well hidden. So, I figure that move applies.
That's fair.
You're just reading through it, right? Not doing anything special?
No. Okay.
This went well last time.
It's
wow.
Yeah, that's a 3. So I don't know, accidentally dropped the file in the toilet? I don't even know.
Bad paper cut.
Oh, my eyes fall out.
I 100% feel at this point, Sue, as if the system is daring you to start spending some... pressure.
A hell of a lot of pressure.
And until you do, it's going to keep punishing you with bad rolls.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible to rescue a roll of 3 unless it's...
I have 1 pressure to spend as well, so...
I brought this to you because I thought you were an investigator, but you're not.
Clearly I'm not, no.
Well, I'll tell you what. Like, it's not hard to find Catan's list of persons of interest. They're not styled as suspects. So, there's you. And it's the exact reasons that he gave you just before he arrested you and put you in the brig. There's Dr. Roy, and it's basically the same reason that he was on board the bridge unexpectedly at around the right time. And there is, of course, Alagona, for the slightly flimsier reason that he was up there at very close to the right time. And there is also a person who I should have probably named already but haven't. Let's get the name list. Carla Gillis, which is a name you recognise, actually, as a probable Nexus operative. And he's basically written down a list of locations that this person has been to. And I don't know whether you'll be able to tell from his shorthand, with a roll of three, probably not. He's got various sort of question marks and exclamation marks next to the locations, and then a big arrow that points from them to bomb.
I don't get it. What's he trying to say? Chris Fager.
Hard to work out.
Shorthand's unfathomable.
And I think that's probably his list.
Right, okay. So I'll scan around the brig and see if Carla's in here among everyone. I don't know is it like a party in here, or is it not quite that humorously packed?
Did you say pie?
A party. Sorry, I sort of flattened my tea then.
A party.
Pie.
Pie.
In Bethnal Green.
Yes. It is. No, it's not as humorously packed as all that, but there's a couple of other Marines besides Alagona, presumably the ones who were involved in the attempted breakout, and there's like maybe a couple of people you don't recognise, and yeah, because there are little walls separating, like it's like a sort of sheriff style cell, Wild West sheriff style cell, i.e. it's got an open front and a solid wall either side, and so if you look round the wall you can see who else is there but you can't see otherwise. So yes, sat in the corner of one of the cells you can see Carla Gillis.
So it's not likely that I can have a conversation with Carla without, like, in private, like a quiet word.
Well, you it would be hard for you to get her attention without drawing attention to the fact that you were getting her attention, but she is in the next cell from you. You could get her attention, and then because she's in the next cell, she would be able to come and chat to you, and probably you could keep it down. Maybe someone who could lip read be able to tell what you're saying, maybe someone with very good hearing.
Okay, well, I want to get her attention then. Yeah, I think I'm just going to call in quite a generic way to the next, like, loud enough that it's obviously not directed at everyone, but just the next cell over. So I just sort of maybe whistle a bit through my teeth and just go, anyone there? Hello?
Yeah, she will definitely look up and raise an eyebrow at you. She's sat in the corner in the kind of classic, I've been sat in a prison cell too long hunch, but she'll saunter over to you where you're standing and say, I think I know you, don't I?
Yeah, I think I know you too. Is it Carla?
Yep. You're that reporter person.
Sonia Vega. You've probably read some of my pieces.
I surely have. Yeah. Yeah, good writing. I like it. Keeps me entertained while I'm flying from one ship to another.
Well,
you whistled.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, how long you've been in here for. I mean, I'm getting a little bit bored now. I figured it'd be a good idea to get to know people in here a little bit.
So that's a good question. How long do we think this situation's been going on? I feel like it's a couple of days, or maybe it's three. Since the commander got blowed up.
I feel like we might be in weakish territory, maybe.
Okay, I did say that we skipped some time, didn't I? Actually, yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah. Okay, so you're probably right. So then, how long has she been in here? It's been a few days. The heavies came and picked me up out of nowhere and dragged me in here, and they've asked me some questions, but not much more.
Shit. just completely unprovoked, like picked you off out of nowhere.
Yeah, basically.
Wow.
She almost smirks a little at the question. I mean, word is that the head honcho got hit. Quite a few of the head honchos got hit, actually. They seem to think I had something to do with that, which is, I mean, ambitious.
Well, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people got hit. I mean, as far as I know, the big guy is still with us, so that's cool.
Yeah, I guess so. Seems like he's not in charge anymore, though. Wasn't him that seemed to be calling the shots. Catan. I thought he was one of the pilots.
Well, you know, they got systems for this kind of thing, haven't they? You know, power structures and all that.
Yeah, I wouldn't really know. But let's just say I'm not too happy to be in here. And, well, I don't plan on spending too much more time here.
Wow, you sound like you've got a plan.
It's always a good idea to have a plan, don't you find?
I'm more of a kind of, you know, in the moment kind of girl, I guess.
Yeah, I guess maybe that works for you as a journalist, but it's not so good in my line of work.
And what line of work might that be?
Oh, I work in transportation. I move things from one place to another.
Of course, yeah, you mentioned you had a ship, right, yeah. Interesting. Not military then, I'm guessing, more sort of...
Well, I mean, aren't we all kind of military now? You know, there's a whole bunch of ships out there that are notionally civilian, but we all have to do what the uniforms say, don't we? And we're all, at the end of the day, we're all supplying stuff for them one way or another. It's just in my case, I emphasise other more than one way.
You know, this is exactly what I was saying to the captain a while ago. You know, there's all kinds of different... What's the word I'm looking for? There's different ways to cooperate, right?
Right. I think we understand each other.
Exactly. And cooperation sometimes means turning a blind eye to things that maybe might be more unsavoury in less, you know, severe times. We're all in severe times right now, right?
I quite agree. But it doesn't look like this Catan guy is keen on that kind of logic. This isn't the only place people have been locked up. And what I'm hearing is some of my compatriots have been, well, range from harassed to also placed under confinement. It's not great for our business.
No, I bet it isn't. But you know, he's not, I don't want to be mean, but he's not smart. You know, this is all fear-based and people who are scared make mistakes. So if you can wait it out, I'm sure everything will be fine. And, you know?
Yeah, that's not the impression I get. I get the impression that someone's going to go out of the airlock for this sooner or later. I don't know who it's going to be. It's going to be one of the people in this room, probably. And I don't want it to be me, so... Plus, I got stuff I need to be doing, so...
Of course, yeah. I mean, I'm as keen to find out who did this as anyone. I'm in here, but I'm helping in ways that I can help, you know?
That's very generous of you.
Oh, it's not generous. I just don't want to be here anymore. So I'm finding ways to make that happen, you know? It's that in the moment kind of thing that I was talking about.
I mean, if only I could help them, but I don't know anything about whatever this thing is that happened, so I'm not in a great position.
Oh man, that's such a shame. You know, because with the contacts that I've got and the access that I've got, you know, that could offer a good amount of protection to anyone who could give any leads at all.
That's real interesting. but I don't see how I could help because all I do is move stuff from A to B, like I said.
Of course, yeah, yeah. Just you're just doing your bit.
For the fleet.
Yeah,
and the people on the fleet, you know.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Ah, well,
what have you got in mind here? You clearly didn't call me over here just to compare notes on how the day is going.
Well, look, I'm just trying to do my bit. Yes, it wasn't entirely innocent coming over here. I wanted to see maybe if you could give me anything that could help. Hmm. You might have seen something. You might have, I don't know, delivered something to someone.
Like what?
Materials. Technology.
Sure, I mean, stuff passes through my logistics chain, if you like. But it's a lot of stuff, so you'd need to be a bit more specific.
What's that word that you used? Ambitious. I'm looking for ambitious stuff. Did you carry any of that?
I mean, I didn't carry any bombs, if that's what you're thinking. But I guess a smart person might be able to turn unambitious stuff into something ambitious if they wanted to. It's not the kind of thing I tend to pay close attention to. I don't like to know too much about what I'm carrying, if you know what I mean. Sometimes you find out stuff you don't really want to know.
Yeah, but sometimes for your own sake you need to know enough about what you're carrying to keep you safe.
Oh, I know everything that I carry. I'm just saying, it doesn't pay to think too hard about it. But maybe we can work out some kind of a deal. If you want to find out what stuff I've moved, I might be able to get that information for you. The trouble is, I'm not planning on sticking around here, so I don't know how I could get it to you from the outside. And, of course, what you can do for me in return. Did I hear the words complete and unconditional pardon mentioned earlier? Or it sounded like you said something like that.
I'm sure something could be arranged.
Oh, well, you have a think about that. And, you know, I might be able to get some kind of message in here. We can connect up later.
I'll get back to you. Well, I think it's nap time for me.
Yeah, I might go and sit and stare at the ceiling for a while longer before I get some shut-eye myself. Nice talking to you, Miss Vega. And I do hope that you are able to get some quality journalism out to us soon. It's very boring sat in this cell.
And Sonia walks back to her corner, I guess.
Yeah, I think Carla does the same. Goes and sits down by her little... She's got herself some warm pipes or something she's got her back to.
Oh, nice. Luxury.
Okay.
Were you pulling strings there?
Yeah, maybe you were.
Yeah, I might have been.
Even better than that, were you playing both sides?
Ooh. That's a really interesting point, Nick. I'd completely forgotten about that move.
Nice.
It's a good job we got Nick here, isn't it?
I find it hard to believe you'd forgotten about that, because it seems to me like you were just driving straight at it.
Well, it's, I guess when, yeah, it's just, when you're in
ingrained.
It, it's... Can I roll that, or have I missed my moment, really?
I have no fucking clue what that move is that you've just described. I mean, I kind of half remember it. I know what pull strings does. And
so
sure
it's, it's kind of attached to the pull strings move. When you consort with a dangerous faction, roll to pull strings with a +1 bonus.
Yep.
On a 7 or less, they always demand a favour in return, and their favours are always either terrible or seemingly innocuous.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I love that.
If you do it, they'll give you what you want, even on a miss.
Right. Well, that is good, isn't it? That is a damn good move.
That's a damn
7
good
or less,
move.
Really. That's a very odd choice that I made there. That's a puzzling choice, but fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading from the spreadsheet there, so maybe it's not the best.
I'm sure that there was an extremely good reason why I chose to make it 7 or less rather than 6 or less.
Past Josh had a reason.
Past Josh may or may not have had a reason, but we'll abide by it anyway. So do you want to roll to pull strings, +1 bonus?
Let's do that. So that's a 9, which is much better.
Can you spend pressure on a move like that, Josh?
You certainly can.
I mean, actually, I've got smooth 1 as well, so that's actually a 10, isn't it?
Oh, it's a 10. Woohoo, you finally rolled something good.
The tide has turned.
So there isn't any additional bonus, because the additional bonus was to the if you roll badly. So it's just a very good pull strings roll, which means you can... Oh, you choose one good thing, basically. You don't have to choose a bad thing.
Hey!
I think you're probably gaining help with a specific task.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I
mean, you could sort of characterise it as gaining temporary access to rare or restricted information, but I think the real purpose is to help you with seeking out the source of the bomb, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, let's say that.
I think what this means is you can get access to that information to help you with seeking out, which you otherwise wouldn't have had, and you can act as if they had supported you successfully for one hold when you do that. But there will be a delay. It will not happen straight away. Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find links to Last Fleet and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget, Lovecraft Desk is live on Backerkit crowdfunding starting today, the 10th of October, right the way through to November the 9th. So you should go over there right now and back the crap out of it. See you next time.
Have you seen the article that Simon's just posted in the Slack?
I'd already read about that.
Yeah, me too.
I hadn't.
What is it? Disulfide? Something disulfide?
So, yeah, Astro Nick.
Yeah.
As an astrophysicist, what's the implication of the fact they found a life molecule?
Yeah, I'd have to read the paper. I would bet that what they have found is something that is consistent with the presence of this molecule, not unambiguously
the molecule itself. Okay.
I think it's more than that. I don't think they've said this definitely means there's life.
No.
But I think they are saying this molecule is strongly correlated. Is mostly, if not exclusively, produced in our atmosphere by life processes.
What I'm not clear on is what are the error bars on the measurement of the presence of that chemical.
Yes, they are yet to say we are absolutely cast iron certain that this molecule exists on this planet.
So yeah, well, it's a good thing we've got copy editors to clear up that ambiguity for us.
That's the worst thing. They give you a lot of training at trying to figure out ways to not be misquoted in articles about your research, and it never works.
No.
So the one thing, I don't want to rain on everybody's parade, but it makes me sad every time I see an article about some discovery from the James Webb Space Telescope, because James Webb was a son of a bitch, and
they should not
have named a telescope after him. And so now we get to see that every time something good happens.
It turns out that article contains the caveat you were talking about, Nick, within the first two sentences almost. Yeah, they say the data's inadequate and it's going to take a year to be certain. But it's quite they found evidence of methane and is that carbon dioxide or oxygen? I can't remember, which suggests the presence of a liquid ocean. Possibly, they say. Not sure why it does, but they say. And dimethyl sulfide, which apparently is only made on Earth by phytoplankton or something along those lines. So.
Well, they can firm up those numbers.
Yeah, be nice, wouldn't it?
Might be exciting times. We might have discovered alien phytoplankton.
It's a long way to go and pick it up, haven't it?
Yeah, and not much you can do about it, but it'd be interesting. Like, I keep hearing folk on science podcasts I listen to effectively saying simple life emerged on this planet really, really, really soon after it became possible for simple life to emerge on this planet, and therefore, you know, a possible logical conclusion is simple life emerges where it's possible for simple life to emerge.
Hmm.
And that's quite cool if that's true. It'd be nice if there was lots of plankton around, even if there's nothing else.
I'd go and visit plankton.
But it is like 120 light years away or something, so
yeah,
you probably wouldn't.
Yeah, that's a very long bus journey.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want to take the bus for that one.
Train.
Because it'd be stopping off at every bloody asteroid.
Yeah,
yeah, you'd splash out, wouldn't you, for that?
Yeah, unless you get like a mega bus.
Yeah, I was going to say the mega bus might be a bit more direct.
Travel 125 light years for just a pound.
I think it's £2 now.
Inflation. Greedflation right there.
Yeah, you can reserve seats, though, which is really useful.
Wow.
Specific seats?
Or just, I want a seat rather than standing up.
So hang on a minute. If it is £2 a seat, you could get like £8. You could book yourself like a whole section and just say, no one's allowed to sit here but me.
We could all go on holiday together.
Yeah.
We could hire an entire megabus. Drive it around the country.
They're not double-decker, are they? I don't know what a megabus
is.
To
be, yeah.
Yeah, I think they are.
They're just like normal buses that just went a long way.
You could reserve the best seat on the double-decker bus.
Is that the one at the front or the back?
Upstairs at the front, directly above the driver.
That's the, okay.
You can, cool. Yeah, pretend you're driving the bus.
Is that, I mean, cool is... Normally it's at the back of the top deck where you can smoke cigarettes and throw things at other people.
I didn't say coolest, I said best.
Okay, best, right. Sorry, I heard coolest.
Yeah. The bus I used to get to work when I lived in my old house, whenever I got on, almost every time I got on the bus, there was the same woman and her dog sitting in those two seats. And so in our family, that dog was called Doggo Driver.
Doggo Driver. Double G? Or hyphen O.
Double G.
There we go.
It's a lesson in this for all of us.
That's concluded.
No hyphen,
So as it was the best seat, did you stand up and stare at her and point until she moved?
I couldn't argue with the dog. I mean...
Just scowl at the dog from the slightly less good seat next to it.
I'm incapable of scowling at dogs.
Depends on the dog, surely.
It does seem a bit unfair because that dog's not going to benefit from that at all. Dog doesn't care.
Oh, you reckon? Maybe that dog is just like every morning when it's walk time, that dog is like, yeah, I'm going to drive a bus.
I mean, yeah, our dog does like sitting in the front seat wherever possible and the driver's seat wherever possible. When you leave the car, you come back, she's sitting in the driver's seat.
I stand corrected. I'm not an expert on dog behaviour or psychology at all, so sure.
There are some classic photos of your dog in the passenger seat.
Yes. Yes, she gets in there as wherever possible. I think we've got one with her paws on the steering wheel as well, somewhere.
Can you get her a little driver's hat?
A cappy cap.
Like a bus driver's hat, obviously. And then you'd have to take her on the bus.
I don't know how she'd get on the mega bus.
Maybe this is how we get our listenership up.
What, pictures of dogs in hats?
Photos of Ed's dog on a mega bus.
Yeah.
It would work.
Yeah, that would be for our Patreon subscribers.
Exactly. Additional doggo content.
I've been trying to think of what would be a good Patreon reward if we ever did one, and now I know.
Yep. A monthly photo of the dog.
Pets of Black Armada Tales. Black Armada Paws.
Yeah.
No, Black Armada Tales with a T-A-I-L-S.
Yeah, of course. So stupid.
Yeah, we should rename that channel.
I thought Paws. It's just what came into my mind. And as soon as I said it, I was like, that isn't nearly as clever as I thought it was going to be.